I spent a good bit of time just hearing the Lord about what to share, and I left it over there on the iPad because I really believe that in reading the gospel lesson, the Lord wanted me to share from my to that. Some of the things I'm going to talk about, for those of you who get to come to our noon Eucharist, you're going to hear some old things. If you've been around, you hear some of those things again, but I just believe it's a word that God wants us all to hear from that amazing story. And I'll just save this one, which was really a just before Christmas word, for an after Christmas word, or during Christmas word. Around here, we celebrate Christmas for 12 days. That's what the church has been doing for 2,000 years. It's just too big to do for one day. It's like we celebrate Easter for 50 days, because it's just too big for one day, and then go home and Easter's over. And we celebrate Easter and Christmas every day, right, as believers, but we like formally do it for this period of time, and so I'm grateful for that. Joey, you want to pray for me? For those of you who have been praying for Olivia, again, just want to thank you so much. We've made a dramatic, I would say, a miraculous breakthrough in the last week. And it's been amazing and stunning. So just keep praying. But won't take time to give you all the details. But it's been, we've accelerated forward. And so just wonderful. I thank you. Libby thanks you. My dog Henry thanks you. Let me just read some of these verses again. We'll look at them as we go along. But this is again verse 26 of chapter 1 of Luke. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee. This is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Mary's cousin, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one," or "graced one." It's about object of grace. "The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And before you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, you shall name him Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Years ago, I remember, long time ago, several decades ago, I guess we as a group were kind of just praying, asking the Lord to just to manifest his spirit in new ways. And there was a season we went through, those of you who've been here long enough, where just some extraordinary things happened that were kind of breakthrough, first-time things for us. And at one little period of time, the glory of the Lord was so strong that people would try to come in the building sometimes and couldn't get in the building. They would just have to sit outside the building. It wasn't this building. We had a little sort of a small house. It was an interesting time for us. And it was really cool. But I remember when we were praying about that, and the Lord said to me really clearly, he said, "I'm ready." He said, "But I'm not sure that y'all are ready." And I think he said y'all too, which made me feel good too. And so I began to ask the question, what does that mean? And what I heard in my spirit, I wasn't hearing an audible voice, but what I heard in my spirit was, is that he said, "I've already paid the price necessary to pour out my spirit experientially without measure. But whenever there's a pouring out of the spirit, are you prepared to pay the price that's going to be necessary as a consequence?" And the interesting thing was that God didn't say, "If you'll pay a price up front, I'll do something." He said, "I've already paid the price to do something." Jesus said, "It's finished." He meant it. The issue is, though, if I pour out what I purchased for, are you prepared to steward it? Because it's going to cost you. Not to get it, but to carry it. That's the way it works in the Christian life. So when the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, here's this young girl, 15 to 17 years old, who's at prayer, probably, doing morning, evening prayer, one of those things. It's a good Jewish girl would do. And this angel comes to her and says, "Hail favored one, object of God's grace." And then again, he says that the Lord has favored you. There's a King James, among all women, chosen among all women. He says, "You found favor with God. The Lord is with you. Don't be afraid." And the favor that was poured out in her life was an extraordinary one. I mean, you're talking about being elevated and accelerated into the purposes of God. To be the person that would carry the Messiah, that would give birth to the Savior of the whole world. I mean, that's being pretty involved in God's accelerated purposes. And so in that sense, that's really true. That's easy to understand, that to be chosen for that, it can be said about you, "Hail favored one, you have found favor with God. God is with you." And the language here is kind of like God, heaven has noticed that God is with you. It wasn't that she was just an arbitrary choice. And also you have to understand, Mary could have said no. And then it's not like God's plans were then done. But she wouldn't have been able to participate in the plans that he had. I've seen that happen a lot over the years. With men and women who weren't God's first choice for a certain thing, but God's first choice got taken out or was refused to pay the price, not to get it, but to carry it. Because you see, the Lord has a way of planting a seed, doing something. A seed carries life. But the enemy will come along and steal that thing real quick if you don't have to deal with it once it's planted. It can't be nurtured and grow. And so this was an amazing favor for God to show on a human being. I mean, this is the ultimate charismatic dream come true. I mean, you know, this is amazing. The Friday night when they call everybody forth to get the impartation blessing and to get the whole move into God's purposes, a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, this was the ultimate one. Here's a girl whose life with the Lord was pleasing enough. And it's true, understand that God's always with us, but when the Scripture says a word like that, it's saying there's a manifest, the footprints of God are manifest in your life. He's showing up in your life. He's revealing Himself, that He's just present on you. He's showing up on your life. And so that's why she was chosen. She was prepared. And so there's this is the greatest altar call, yes, Lord, impartation, fresh, charismatic, filling Holy Spirit in the history of the world. And yet, if she was afraid, He said, "Don't be afraid." Now, one, this is an amazing experience. And anytime you encounter God like that, there is a holy fear. Because He's just so other. Anytime you encounter holiness like that, there is an other thing about it. Anytime someone's real casual and they're explaining or describing a fresh, real encounter with God, I question whether it was a real encounter with God. Because when God breaks through in terms of bringing us into a new, fresh encounter, it's shocking. Wonderful, but shocking. But the other thing is, Mary, her life had been committed to another since she was a child. She was... And Joseph were a contract couple, just like every other Jewish girl and boy were. Their parents had come into a contract when they were very little. And she had been anticipating this marriage for a long time. And so like any other normal person, she had been planning what this was going to look like. I'm sure they knew where the house was going to be. They were at that stage for sure. They were already engaged, you know, in a Jewish marriage. The marriage has two parts to it, what we call engagement, but they called it betrothal marriage. Then at the latest, a year later, where she would leave her father's home and the marriage would be consummated and finalized. So she was already somewhere in that process. And the house was surely ready, furniture, stuff, all the dreams that a girl would have. And this is a godly girl, a girl so godly that it says about her, it's obvious that the Lord's with you. It's not just a theological statement. or an affirmation. It's obvious. The Lord's with you. And yet, as I mentioned probably a few weeks ago, the price that she was going to have to pay to steward this favor was astounding. One, who would ever think that Joseph would believe her story? I wouldn't have. That'd have been my girlfriend. I mean, even if they were as godly as Mary, there comes a point, you know what I'm saying? I mean, there are only so many stories you can tell. At some point, the story is, hey, I'm pregnant, but it's don't worry, I've not been unfaithful. It's the Holy Spirit. At that point, you probably lost me. And Joseph didn't believe it either. We know that he didn't believe it. And he was going to put her away, divorce her, and send her off so they wouldn't be stoned to death because that was the law. And then an angel had to come to him in the middle of the night and say, the story's true. Her pregnancy is because of the Holy Spirit. And it says he was a righteous man. So it was a righteous man who didn't believe her. He believed. And then went in the middle of the night and told her that he believed. Now, I can only imagine. Now, understand, he went and told her he believed. So, okay, that's okay, cool. But how long was that? How many days was it before the angel came to him? Even if it was a few hours, can you imagine how devastated she was? When she left Elizabeth's place, and she may have been as much as 3 months pregnant when she left Elizabeth and said, oh, by the way. And he didn't believe. How that hurt her, the devastation of having lost everything, her future, all of her plans, and for this man whom she loved, whom she had known all her life, didn't believe in her. That's pretty painful. I mean, I would have thought it would have been better. This is the way I would think God should do. Go to Joseph, tell him first. Do the angel thing with Joseph first. So that when Mary comes and tells him, he's not going to get upset. So at least she won't feel rejected. But God didn't do it that way. He allowed her to experience that pain. And she also knew, as a woman who was godly, I've told my kids, I've told people all my life, the next most important thing to your walk with the Lord is your testimony. And the vast majority of the people the rest of her life never believed that her testimony was authentic. She was always believed to be an immoral, unfaithful person. Then when Joseph went in the middle of the night and told her he believed, they married immediately. But still, people can count. And when the marriage was consummated within a few months, 6 months, the baby came. Now, this we'll talk about next week. But I think it's kind of cool. You know, they had to be in Bethlehem for the marriage to happen to fulfill Scripture. And if they had just left on their own to go to Bethlehem, people would have probably talked even more. They're getting out of town to have this child. Or if they'd asked her, how come you are leaving? Well, we're going to go fulfill Scripture because, you know, this is the Messiah that I'm carrying. Neither one of those would have been a very good storyline. And yet God gave her a perfect excuse because Caesar Augustus said, you got to go back to your hometown and register. That's just an extra little detail. That's just amazing how God is. But isn't it interesting? One minute, he's like sparing her, but the next minute, he let her suffer pain. And the fact that most people didn't believe the story for the rest of her life, she lived with the rest of her life. In every market, anytime there was talking, I'm sure she heard the whispers, kind of like the woman at the well. So the woman at the well started getting water in the middle of the day when it's 115 degrees where she lived. Nobody else went in the middle of the day. They all went in the morning or late in the evening or right when the sun was going down, but she quit going because she got tired of all the rejection. I'm sure Mary experienced a lot of that, especially with her son, the product of immorality, is running around telling everybody he's the Messiah. Not a way to hide in a corner if you've given birth illegitimately. What I'm trying to tell you is this. One of the things I want you to hear is this. If you're serious about God doing a new thing in your life, if you're serious about you breaking through into the experience of more that He has for you, He's prepared. He's already positioned for it. He has been. Kind of like in the book of Acts. Scripture says that Jesus said that once He was ascended, He was going to pour out His Spirit. He was ascended. And yet He made them wait for 10 days in prayer before He poured out His Spirit, because He was ready. But they weren't. He said, yeah, but why would they not be ready? They moved in signs and wonders after they got filled with the Spirit. Miracles happened. Cool things all went on. It's amazing. Wonderful, right? Yeah, and they all got martyred and killed for signs and wonders and thrown in jail, beaten. With the blessing comes a price. And He's prepared for a breakthrough. We don't have to go through a bunch of weird gyrations to get there. But we do have to understand, whenever God says, are you ready to experience more manifest favor, it's going to cost you. It's not going to cost you to get it. But you're not going to get it if you're not going to be willing to pay the cost that's going to come with it. That's really important to understand. Because we all like the buzz. We just don't like the cross that comes with it sometimes. So I'm praying for more. I don't mean to get more. I got everything. I'm praying to experience more. Praying for that for our whole church. But we're starting to have this conversation again with the Lord. And the Lord gets, fine, but are you willing? Are you guys willing? Are you prepared? I said, I've been prepared from the start. It's going to cost you. There's some things you're going to have to let go of. You're going to have to lay down at my feet. For her, it was like reputation, all kinds of stuff, future, but I don't know. Another thing, we've talked about this before, that makes me so proud of Mary, not that Mary needs me to be proud of her. And by the way, I'm not anything, I'm just a Christian. That's not going to work. My Rolex won't lay flat. Oh, yeah, it sort of does. I can see it sideways. If you grew up in a Protestant church, it's okay to preach a sermon about Mary. You're not going to go to hell if we do, okay? So it's okay. That's a good one. Protestants need to go somewhere and stand in the corner and go, Mary, 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 Mary. And it doesn't mean that you're a heretic or you believe that she... You understand? It's okay to talk about that. But we don't most of the time. You go, well, aren't you a Protestant? No, I'm just a Christian. I'm not protesting anything. I'm just for Jesus. I mean, you aren't against Rome. I'm just for Jesus. Right? I spent a good part of my Christian life protesting stuff, and I realized that God was protesting me because I was protesting everything, so I decided I'd just be for Jesus. And if I can find them somewhere, I'm going for them. I'm for them. If they play guitars, electric guitars, and Jesus is there, I'm for it. If they're doing harmonicas and Jews harps, I'm for that too, man. As long as Jesus shows up, right? That was extra, sorry. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And then the angel says to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring that will be called the Son of God. Here's the other thing. One is that favor is going to be costly. It's worth it. But understand what you're asking for. There's a price that's going to come with it. The other thing is this, is that I'm really proud of Mary. This is a young girl who, what many of us would have done, no matter how old we are in the Lord, if that would have happened, and the first thing that flashed before us is the price we're going to have to pay. And then after we went and like you talked to Joseph, and it was obvious that the price, we're paying that price. And if she tried to tell anybody around her, I'm sure they didn't believe it, and things got bad quick. I'd have been asking why. Why? Or I'd have been asking the question that I said just a minute ago. Why didn't you tell him first? I mean, you know, we should wear the hat. God, it's not fair. Why didn't you tell him first? This would not have been near as painful if you'd have told him first. Why did it happen to happen this way? Why would I have to pay such a price? But Mary didn't ask why. Because why is a word of rebellion? Remember what we said last week? We'll talk about that again next week a little bit. But the only person who can live the Christian life is Jesus himself. That's why he came to live inside of you. He could have just reached down from heaven, tapped you on the shoulder, said you're forgiven, you're going to go to heaven one day, and that would have been okay. You go to heaven one day. But he wanted to change who you were, not just where you were headed. He wanted to change how you live. So he came to live inside of us by the Holy Spirit. And he's the only person that can live the Christian life. But Jesus will not live your life through you. He'll only live his life through you. Jesus will not live your story through you. He'll only live his story through you. And why, the word why, the question why, is our wondering why he's not telling my story through me. Because this is not part of the story I wanted to experience. Every one of you are in places, have been in places where the temptation to go, why? This is not part of the story I bargained for. But Mary didn't ask that question. She was deathly surrendered. But she asked another dangerous question. And it's the word how. She said, how can this be? How gets me in as much trouble as why does? Because I can say yes, and then as I'm walking through it, and it seems so difficult and hard, and I can't figure out how we're going to get this done, or how that bill's going to get paid, or how this is going to work out, or how's this relationship going to work out, or how, whatever. I'm not asking why. I just can't logically. I'm leaning on my own understanding, and because I can't, in my own understanding, figure out how this is going to work out, and I can't control it as much as I've tried to, I'm now into the other place of unbelief. And that's how. Because I can't figure it out. That's a good question for her to ask, right? I mean, I don't know what your hows might be, what situation you might be in, but this is a teenage girl who was going to get pregnant. And she asked the question, how can this be since I'm a virgin? But here's the Lord's answer. And the Lord's answer was, this isn't about a how, it's about a who. That's always the answer. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Who? Holy Spirit's God. What is, who's the Holy Spirit come to do? To glorify Jesus, to make Jesus real to us. To make God real and tangible to us. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, what happens? The power. And that's the word there for ability. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power, the ability of God. Quit trying to figure out how, because you don't have the ability. The ability of God will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy's offspring will be called the Son of God. That's why his name will be stamped on this thing. When it's all done, and you look back, you're going to see God did it. It's going to have his name on it. Not going to be because you manipulated it. You tried to control it. One of my favorite passages about faith is in Hebrews chapter 11, speaking of Sarah. Now here is Sarah when she finally got pregnant. She was like 90 years old. And she had never been able to give birth before. Now she's too old. She finally gives birth, but it says in Hebrews 11, verse 11, by faith, even Sarah. Why does it say that, even Sarah? Because of her situation, and she had laughed at God out loud when he said, you're going to give birth. You're going to give birth from your own womb. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability. She didn't have the ability in her own strength. She received the ability from another. By faith, she received it. By faith, she received ability to conceive beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. That's really the only issue. How? He is faithful. And He will overshadow you and your situation with His ability. So when it's all done, He gets the glory. His stamp's on it, not yours. It'll save you a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of nervousness and anxiety, frustration, if you'll lay down the house. Because it's not a how-to. Christianity is a who-to. This is a hymn book, an H-I-M book. It's all about the him, who's the who, to all the hows that you're concerned with. She received ability. I can't do this. I don't have the ability to do this. So? And? You mean to tell me that you're just a failure God always thought you'd turn out to be? He's not shocked. That's why He came to live in you, so you wouldn't have to live like that anymore. You're uniquely created to be utterly and absolutely and hopelessly dependent on Him. But thank God for that, right? Because when it's His ability and not yours, things get supernatural. You end up finding yourself doing things and being able to do things, handle people and deal with certain people, and you never could before because a miracle. It's a miraculous life. It's overshadowing you. And so you can either live your life in every situation feeling overwhelmed or being overshadowed. Being overwhelmed by your inability to cope or being overshadowed by His ability. Amen. That deserved a hallelujah. And He says, "For behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she was called barren now in her sixth month." I think that's encouraging. That God said, there is a story you can draw encouragement from. That you have somebody who's a really close cousin, and she's experiencing a miracle right now. And so if she can experience a miracle, then you can too. I think that is why God puts people around us, why we hear people in conferences, we'll read books, we'll hear tapes, and they'll talk about the power, the ability of the Most High overshadowing them in their situation. It's not so we can just go, "Oh my gosh, I wish I could be like them." No, it's so, "Oh my gosh, I have the same him." And even Sarah, even Chuck, even you can experience the gift of His ability, situation by situation. Receive it, not earn it. Just by faith. Because this is how our faith is expressed. When He says in verse 37, "For nothing is impossible with God." Then He says, her response is this. This is what faith looks like. "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." Be it done to me, not by me. That involved her, right? Be it done to me. "Behold, your bondslave, be it done to me according to your word." Ian Thomas, my spiritual father, used to say, he'd preach on this, he said, her response was very simple. "You said it? Okay, Lord, you do it. Because I'm in it." That was simple. "Lord, you said it. And no matter what it costs me, you do it." And she rested, she left the thing at His feet. She entered into His rest. Because nothing's impossible to Him. He's not flipping out about anything. Because faithful is He who calls you, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, who also will do it. And I love what it says when she goes to see Elizabeth, to visit with her. Verse 44, "And behold, when the sound of your greeting," Elizabeth is speaking to Mary, "reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what the Lord had spoken to her." She was offered the blessing. She received it because she believed. And what? That He was able. He was able. And all the future stuff, all the reputation stuff, all that, that was His problem, not hers. She just had to remind herself that she was a bondslave of the Lord. "Be it done to me according to your word." whatever you're calling me into, I'm just going to say, I know that you're going to overshadow me with your ability, and whatever the price, whatever the consequences, that's your business. I'm your bond slave. Because this thing, this blessing, this favor, this extravagant favor that all of us want to walk in, there's a price. She's like, no, I don't care what the price. And I'm not concerned with the hows anymore. It's all about you. Do it, Lord. Go for it, Lord. Amen. I messed up my Rolex. It wasn't showing the right time. Let's stand together.